Hello and welcome again to Jaded Gamercast. I've got some scotch. Nathan is here and he's got whatever he can find because, as his rule states, never not, never do not. You say it because I apparently am.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, we've been drinking for a little bit before we started this. My rule is never leave home without vodka in the car because you never know when you will need it. And going through Lang's liquor cabinet of like scotch, bourbon, and peppermint schnapps.
And you forgot about the dirty Zambuca.
Oh, right, the dirty, dirty Zambuca. I decided to go break into the car's reserves of vodka for...
It was an emergency.
It was.
It's right there beside your first aid kit, no doubt. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of what we did this week. Nathan, how was your weekend hobby?
Honestly, quite poor. All I accomplished this week was registering for Adepticon, getting into the fantasy championships, and then writing up the list that I want to take. That's honest to God it. It's been a crazy hectic week. I mean, I was out hunting last weekend, so basically this week was catch up on life again.
You know, John was still getting his stuff done. You know what I mean by that.
Of course.
He had sex with a woman. So, moving on. My week in the hobby was primarily Firestorm Armada. They released the new rules for the Dreadnoughts, which I think is pretty awesome, along with the Destroyer rules as well. I was doing a bit of that. Other than that, not much. I was looking at painting something up for the Strange Aeons painting contest.
Yeah, I'm looking at that as well.
Yeah, and there were a couple other things that were kind of piquing my interest, but right now I've been getting a lot of texts and requests from people in the form of email asking me about Firestorm Armada, kind of more and more and more that I play. I got a chance to play against my buddy Scott with his Aquans. It was his first game, and I wrecked him pretty solid. And, you know, it seems we used the Mar rules this time around, which was a lot of fun. So we really had a good time with it. Other than that, no painting, no modeling, nothing. Nothing at all. Just a lot of hanging around and talking about painting and modeling.
Yeah, I've been the same way. I think I've probably had like 10 Facebook conversations about all the stuff I'm totally going to paint mm-hmm. as soon as I get a chance. But... that's about it. No, for me, I think the big push for me now is going to be in the next week to 10 days is going to be building everything I plan on taking with me to a third world country to paint myself, even though labor there is very affordable.
Mm.
I mean, I
hear all you need to have is a bag of shirts.
God bless third world countries. Mm. At least they can do my base coats. I don't think I'd trust them with the highlighting.
Well, you never know.
But no, like I said, for me, I just want to get all the stuff that I'm planning on bringing built, which is basically everything I need for my Adepticon army that isn't a Greater Demon, so that way I can spend the 3 months between when I get back and Adepticon painting a Greater Demon and doing a ridiculous display board, because I'm driving to Chicago.
Mm.
So, that's a fun 22-23 hour
drive.
That's a
nice long
one,
for sure.
That's a good one. That's a gooder.
Oh. You, sir, drink more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to get into higher learning for this week, and we've been on and off with higher learning lately, kind of as we get to the end of the alphabet. We figured it would be good, now that we've had a nice solid break and a full year worth of podcasting under our belts, that we would come back and do higher learning again in the same way that we did before, a little bit of an alphabetical back and forth between Warhammer and Warhammer Fantasy. Warhammer 40,000, Warhammer Fantasy.
Oh, are we cutting 40K out of the podcast? I didn't get the memo.
If only. No, but, you know, we're going to be going back and forth. We're going to start from the beginning, which is going to be Beastmen. So this is going to be a little bit different. If there's something specific that you guys want with regards to higher learning on an army, please feel free to send us an email. We'll try to shoehorn it in when we get to that army on higher learning. I think that could be good as well. But for Beastmen, what we're going to be talking about is... what really an ideal list for Beastmen right now is looking like, which is kind of interesting with all of the new releases for the Beastmen. We will get to that as we get to our main topic. But Nathan, what do you really see for kind of the most optimal list for Beastmen right now?
Well, I think, Beastmen have so many problems. I mean, They're kind of a mess. They're all over the place. They're probably one of the hardest armies to build a good solid list for. But with that being said, I would never leave home without Minotaurs. I think that Minotaurs are best bang for your buck in that army list. They're fantastic. They're brutes. You've got some options with them, giving them great weapons or double hand weapons, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in an unreliable army where you're dealing with having no armor and having you know, low leadership and things of this nature that can be a detriment. I think that having a good solid core of Minotaurs, at least six strong, so you can benefit
from... So you're saying in Doombull then, as well.
You know, you can, honestly, I find Minotaurs good enough that they don't really need the hero support. I mean, they obviously need to be within range of your BSB or general if you can, but for me, I think Minotaurs are a good solid option, and other than that, I think you need to buy at least three of your core choice chariots, because chariots are fantastic. And again, you have an army where, you know, you don't have a lot of hitting power. And so I think that core-based chariots are fantastic, because, I mean, you could take 20 of the damned things, which means that you could literally...
The Beastman ones are pretty cheap.
Yeah, the Beastman ones are cheap, and they're core, which, yeah. Again, is fantastic. So you're not limited the way other armies are, you know, like High Elves, where it's just like, well, I could take three Lion Chariots, and that's maxing my special, or, you know, same with Dark Elves. So, I mean, I think that chariots and Minotaurs really need to form the basis of your list. I personally would steer clear of the monsters. I find they are so many points. Even though, you know, the new kits are nice, I was looking at it, I'm just like, ah, that Jabberslife is fantastic. And if I was a Beastman player, I'd get it, I'd paint it up. But I find that, you know, when you're dumping points on chariots, you're dumping points on Minotaurs, you know, your Bestigors are very expensive. You know, like, good elements of your army are expensive, and 275 points on one of their monsters just seems... really expensive, you know, especially when if you do choose to go the route of the big Bray Shaman, you can summon one of those monsters onto the board if you run Lore of the Wild. Not right. That I condone running Lore of the Wild over Lore of Beasts, but should you so choose?
Yeah, well, I do agree about the Minotaurs. I think that they're kind of the one of the few things in the list that is a given. I think just about anybody out there looking at a plastic kit isn't going to shrug away from Minotaurs. But I think the Doom Bowl is a must. Give the Doom Bowl the Crown of Command just so that those Minotaurs are stubborn. I think it is really important considering that they are lacking the ranks. And like you say, you have to keep them within range of your BSB as much as possible. I agree with chariots. I've always said, and I've said to you on multiple occasions, don't take chariots unless you plan on taking three. Mm-hmm. Because it's a waste of time to do it any other way. I do disagree, though. I think the Saigor is a great choice. It's anti-magic. It's kind of fun. It does screw people up every once in a while. And the fact that it's essentially a free stone thrower, not a great stone thrower, but a free stone thrower, is not bad.
The Saigor is definitely the best of their monster choices, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I think it definitely better than the Gorgon and the Jabberslife and the Giant. I think that if you are going to take a monster, you definitely want to put the chips down on the Saigor. But again, for me, I always found that when I was trying to build a good Beastman list, it was one of those things where it's just like, you know, you're lacking in so many areas that if you want to build a good army list, it's just like, you know, because if you want a good anvil unit, you want to take Bestigors. Well, Bestigors are expensive, especially if you start taking them in the quantity that a heavy armor, great weapon armed unit needs in order to actually swing.
Yeah.
You're burning a lot of points, plus your Minotaurs, plus your chariots. And it was always one of those things where it was just like, you know, do I take anti-tank with good flanking in the form of Centaurs?
Anti-tank?
Anti-tank. Jesus Christ. Anti-artillery. Anti-steam tank, you know?
Anti-steam tank.
Everyone needs anti-steam tank.
No, I agree. I think if you're not running two or three units of Bestigors with last cannons, you're just wasting your time.
Absolutely. I mean, really. But personally, I think Centigors with melting guns is full of wind.
That's true. The Leaf Blower Centigor list is by far the most effective. I disagree about the Bestigors, though, to be back to topic. I think Bestigors are just too expensive. I think that, you know, considering everything else that you have in the list, you can put together some pretty solid tarpit units of just Gores and Ungors. They're not amazing. You know, they're maybe not as cheap as they need to be, but you can still get a ton of them on the board. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem is none of them have any armor one way or another.
Yes.
And a 5+ armor save from Bestigors is just as good as having no armor against half of the shit that you're going to be fighting to begin with. So you kind of have to look at it going like, what am I paying for here? Am I just paying for a halberd or a great weapon?
And I do think that Steadfast with 8th Edition did help Ungor hordes a lot. Because remember, Ungors did not used to have the ability to come in ranks. I mean, hell, no Beastmen did.
Bullshit.
I actually enjoyed the we're skirmish but actually get a rank bonus rules. I thought it was interesting.
The mixed units thing always pissed me off.
Yeah,
I'm glad they're getting rid of mixed units
except for Lizardmen, because they released Beastmen, and then they were just like, oh, hey, we forgot we like this.
Well, I really doubt that we're going to be seeing mixed units of Skinks and Croxagores in the new Lizardmen when they redo them. I just don't think they're going to play that particular game, you know?
That is very fair, because Lizardmen did actually come out before Beastmen, but they were very, very close. That's why I mentioned it. But no, I mean, I think Steadfast works good for Ungors if you need a good tar pit. For me, I honestly feel that the biggest holdback to this army, and one of the reasons why it kind of sits mediocre for me, and it's such a minor thing, but I think it makes a huge difference, is the fact that Gores do not have access to magic banners. Right. And the reason I say that is Beastmen have one of the best magic banners in the game, in my opinion, and that's the Totem of Rust. It's super cheap. And basically what it does is it just projects an aura of -1 to armor saves. And if you're in base contact with the unit that has it, it's a -2. And this is fantastic for you as a Beastman player because you have no armor. I mean, sure, you can stack
It's a straight-up fight at that point.
Well, exactly. Yeah. It's a straight-up fight. Gores not having access to that banner means that you either have to give your BSB some rinky-dink 25-point magic banner to put him in a big Gore unit, or you take the Strength 6 Bestigors, who are ignoring armor anyway. So it's always just like, you know, this... It's such a fantastic item that you know, is just kind of lost, because I really think that just giving one unit of Gores, you know, like High Elves are just like, you can have one unit of Core that has a magic banner. Something similar to that, I think, would definitely benefit that army, and I think that would help alleviate a lot of the problems they have, because, I mean, Gores are only Strength 3, so you're not you're not doing any armor save modifiers, and that's why I say, you have your Minotaurs, you have your Chariots, and now you just don't have any punch in your list, and that's why, for me, I think Bestigors are a necessary evil, even though they're so goddamned expensive. And like I said, that's kind of why I say Beastmen are a mess, is they're a really hard army to build a list for. The ambush rules are pointless now. Yep. I mean...
There's no point.
It's kind of fun to have one unit potentially pop up, maybe, possibly. I mean, really...
You're just throwing a unit away. I've never seen anybody use it to effect, and to this day...
See,
The two Beastman players that I talk to, you know, they've all they say is they're just like, you know what, 75% of the time, all it means is I've thrown a unit away, and it comes in too late in the game to do anything.
Every once in a while, because when you roll the dice, there's the possibility your opponent picks which fucking board edge it comes on for Pete's.
You know, like if it were a bit more reliable and it were a bit more useful where your general could augment that role in some way, shape, or form, then sure. But yeah, I see what you're saying about them not being able to have a magic banner. Lizardmen are the same way. There's actually two or three other armies right now that have the same issue, where they just can't take a magic banner unless they have the BSB. I think they're slowly moving away from that, just in the same way that they're moving away from giving unit champions the options to take magic items. Remember, we saw that with you see it in Lizardmen, you kind of saw it in High Elves and Dark Elves, where like, oh, this unit champion can take one magic item. And I think they're just kind of moving away from that in a lot of cases. They might be giving unit champions more options, but not much more than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that can be huge. I mean, if you have an extra 5 points left, you take your Phoenix Guard champion, you give him the other Trickster's Shard, so now anyone they fight has to reroll successful ward saves. I mean, you know, on a unit of White Lions where they're Strength 6, almost always cleaving through armor, that's downright ugly. Like, it's just like, that is fantastic. So, I agree. I think they're moving away. But, I mean, for me, I think if we're going to bring this kind of back onto topic, if you're a, you know, prospective Beastman player, for me, I think we both agree you take Chariots because they're core, which is fantastic. And, again, Chariots are great. And I think Chariots are probably the single most underutilized unit type in Warhammer. Because I rarely see Chariots, even in armies that get them. I don't see Chaos Chariots all that often. I
see a couple.
I don't see High Elf Chariots all that often. It's a very underutilized unit type. And I think that Chariots are very damaging. Because, I mean, I was playing games up again in when I was up hunting. And honestly, John had a unit of 6 Tomb King Chariots, 3x2 formation. And it was just dominate, like, its threat bubble was dominating my movement. Because I was just like, you know, if I move a greater demon here, he can potentially just get ganked off impact hits. Because 3d6 strength 5 impact hits is gonna fuck up whatever it hits.
Yep.
I mean, that's Tomb King Chariots running in units, but again, don't underestimate Chariots. I think they're excellent. And Beastmen can even get better Chariots, Razor Gore Chariots, in their special choices. So, yep. I mean, they can have a very fast, very Chariot-heavy army. I would say you can't go wrong with that. And then after that, I think at least one Ungor Tar Pit would be something that I think the army really needs, because it doesn't have a lot of kill power. And you always want to sort of clog stuff up so you can flank charge with those Minotaurs. And, you know, other than that, I think play around.
5x4, you know, 5x10, something like that. You know, I think a real big Tar Pit of Ungors is a solid thing. But you got to keep them right by your general, because they're one of the worst units for running off the table. But I really do think that a Horde of Gores is something that you just can't... You can't ignore the fact that you're gonna need something at strength 4 that is gonna be able to stay in the fight, and the only way
but
for them
not strength 4, they're only toughness 4, strength 3.
Right. Sorry.
Although,
but still, but that's the idea is they're able to stay in the fight, as opposed to even 50 Ungors is just getting chewed to pieces by whatever hits it. Right. Like, it's you might last a turn, but it's all about making that Ungor unit hold a unit up for a turn or maybe two. And then being able to hit them with the Gore unit and actually do something with it.
Yep. If you are going to go with the big unit of Gores, just make sure that your BSB has the magic banner of +1 strength to the unit, because making them strength 4 will actually make a difference. Yep. And also arm them with a pair of hand weapons, just so you're getting 10 more attacks out of your front rank.
Yeah, it's really important. And again, I think like you said, Lore of the Wild is a waste of time when you can take Lore of Beasts, and Wisten's wild form on a big horde like that is just huge.
Wisten's Wild form, if you're stacking with that BSB banner, is making a strength 5, toughness 5 unit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess the last thing that I want to talk about with the Beastmen in terms of ideal lists is that what we're seeing a lot online right now is people who are looking at wizards in any sort of fighting capacity and saying, what can you do to avoid taking fighty characters and just take wizards who can kind of double as fighting characters, right? And the Bray Shaman is one of them, because he comes with a great weapon. You know, he's still kind of okay, but when you look at Lore of Beasts, you can get away with taking, you know, Pan's Impenetrable Pelt or the Savage Beast of Horrors, which is really, really good for that type of unit. And considering how inexpensive Bray Shamans are, you know, should your strategy be take 3 Bray Shamans, level 2 apiece, use that to split up Lore Master between your entire army, you know, to get all the spells that you want, and basically just have them running around, and as long as you have one guy with Pan's Impenetrable Pelt and Savage Beast of Horrors, just make sure that that's your casting priority on top of Wissens.
Well, that, and you have to keep in mind that as a Beastman army, the lore attribute for Lore of Beasts is giving you +1 to cast. Well, actually, it makes everything -1, so same for dispel purposes, but anyway... but the other big thing is Beastmen have an arcane item that does create a bubble of +1 to cast on all their wizards. So if you're stacking Lore of Beasts with that item, your level 2s are basically casting like level 4s, and your level 4 is casting like a level 6.
Right.
So, I mean, it does make Lore of Beasts pretty damned reliable.
Well, what I'm getting at is, do you feel like taking a hero, a Beastman hero or a Beastman lord, other than a Doom Bowl, is a good idea? Or do you... Do you really feel like they're kind of wasted on the list the way that it's built right now?
You know, I have a soft spot for the Beast Lord and a Chariot, because you can do some pretty despicable combos with that. You know, plus he's also the only model in the army that can actually stack up to a really respectable armor save, because I think a Beast Lord can, on a mount, get up to a 1+, you know, which is the absolute only thing in the list that's able to do that. So, I mean... although, other than being gimmicky, which is really all it is, I would say no. Like, I honestly think that you take your BSB, you take your level 4 Bray Shaman, and then, as Lang said, you take a bunch of other, like, 2 other level 2s, because the other very, 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 very important thing is the signature spell is Wisten's Wild Form, and you can cast that multiple times if you have multiple wizards. So exactly. 3 Wisten's Wild Form on the board is... Exactly what you need.
Boom, Wisten's Wild Form. Oh, I failed again, did I? Wisten's Wild Form.
Well, exactly.
You know
it adds that reliability in. So, because like I said, if you're running a big unit of maybe 60 gores with the BSB giving them strength 4, you have 3 shots to make them strength 5. And even Chaos Warriors are going to get chewed up when they're facing an army that's throwing 40 attacks at strength 5.
Right.
Like, it's...
No shields in that entire army, right? That's the last pro tip.
Yes.
Do not take armor. Yeah. Do not pay for shields. Don't waste your points.
Don't pay for light armor. Don't pay for shields. Because I think that's the thing attacks. Is gores have the option where it's just like, you can take a shield for a 6+6+, or you can take an extra hand weapon. And you buy that second hand weapon every single goddamn time.
No, that's the damn truth. All right, so let's move on here into the main topic for today's show.
God, all this talk actually makes me want to do a Beastmen army. I'm just like,
I always love Beastmen. I've always put lists together for Beastmen for the longest time. I actually wanted to do this crazy conversion for like way back when you could actually take demon princes in the Beastmen and you could give the Beastmen unit marks. Like, I was so amped up for that, and I had this list built where I wanted to make an all Khorne Beastman list because I thought it would just be the best thing in the world. Very glad I didn't.
Yeah,
because it's just like, oh, I can't do that anymore. Hey, have fun.
Well, for me, I've always really enjoyed the models, especially this new release. I think the only one that I'm not truly in love with are the Minotaurs. I think their musculature is a little cartoonish and silly. But it's just like, I love the Ungors, I love the Gors, I love the Centaurs. Hey, you know, hey, that's all the props to you. So it's just like, I've always loved the models, and that's why I've always been trying to hack out lists. But up until right now, I haven't had any really good fun ones where I'm just like, ooh. So, I don't know. Something to think about.
Yeah. Anything to avoid 100% in that list?
I would say, I don't know. Honestly, I can't think off the top of my head. I mean, I don't have the list, the list memorized, but I mean, for core, you have three options, which is your chariots, your gores, your ungores. For your special, Razor Gore chariots are good. Units of Razor Gores are good because they're monstrous cavalry. So, I mean, they're stomps, they're swift stride, they've got lots of good rules like that.
I guess Centaurs are just the big thing to avoid.
But Centaurs are drunk. It's like my spirit animal. I mean, they literally have a special rule called drunk. And being fast cavalry, I think the only problem with Centaurs is they're so fucking expensive. And they're kind of this, we poorly do everything style of unit, where it's just like, maybe a unit of 5 Centaurs to be a really quick anti-artillery kind of unit, because with their vanguard move and their movement of 8, but even then, 5 Centaurs is still like 100 points, and you're like,
Just take a chariot, man. Like, your chariots, anything that your Centaurs can do, your chariots can do just as well.
For less points and their core.
Right, and, you know, you go vanguard out there and charge up the board with your Centaurs, they're going to get ripped to shreds before they can do anything. And then they're going to run off the table because they're out of range for leadership. But yeah, for me, it would definitely be Centaurs is the thing to avoid. I think that you should definitely avoid the Jabberscythe. I think it's just like Kiana said earlier, it's just overpriced and you have better options being the Cygor. And then Bestigors, I think, sure, if you're going to try to fit them in sparingly, but I think they're too expensive in a list that you need to keep reminding yourself is a horde list.
One more thing though, I would personally avoid all special characters.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think the points
unless
cost...
you're just playing for the kicks.
Points costs are off, I think, on all of the special characters, in my opinion, where it's just, because even when I look at Gorthor, you're just like, you know, I can just do a better Beast Lord for less points.
You got to take the other dude who flies and uses death magic, because he actually has some abilities that stack really in a very, very cool ways if you take Lore of Death and stuff like that. And I know that my buddy Jason, I was telling him about it for his list, and he used that special character. And kind of every time I go back to that special character, I'm just like, you know what? No, he's great. Mm-hmm. But you do have to build a list around him, and it's a kind of a fragile list as compared to, like we'd said before, you know, 3 Bray Shamans, 1 being a Lord, and just go to town, you know? Okay, so let's move on to our main topic for today, which is Blood in the Badlands. Oh my God, Storm of Magic called Not Storm of Magic.
That's not fair.
No, fuck it. It's as fair as anything, because what was Storm of Magic?
You're not
the terrain catalog.
It's true. I was saying that's not fair because it sounds like there's actually two. There is more than one scenario in Blood in the Badlands, where Storm of Magic was just straight up, no, get fulcrums.
Go buy your fulcrums. Yeah, but all they're going to be selling here is walls.
Yeah, good old Caesar's fucking...
Better get all your walls. No, we're not gonna... No, we're not gonna do a siege scenario where it only takes up half the table. No, the siege is in the middle of the table.
Oh, is it really? Oh,
you know, Yeah, there's actually a picture of it here. Here, I'll bring it up so you can see it real quick. and
oh, you motherfucker. Yeah, so you're right. Instead of needing to just do it off board edge. All right. So, for those of you that are not getting the... wow, is that the English page? What the hell is that scenario called? Geheimensnacht?
I used to date one of those. A Geheimensnatch? Yeah. I think we've all been there.
Indeed. No, but I mean, for those of you that don't know, Blood in the Badlands is Games Workshop's newest supplement. They call it a supplement to Warhammer Fantasy Battles. Basically, it is, let's read their, I'm not even going to read their description. Just scroll down. How many stupid pages is it? Wasn't it 96 or something dumb? Yes, this 96 page. So basically, it's a 100-page book that is going to read like a white dwarf, because they've actually said, hey, everybody, we have 8 gamers talking about the campaign they're totally playing using
these
rules. Get
ready for battle reports.
Yeah, we hope you love battle reports, so go fuck yourselves. that's what I have to say to you, Games Workshop. But basically, it's 100 pages. They could not actually find enough content to do 100 pages, which is why they're padding it full of white dwarf bullshit. And it contains new scenarios, which I'm kind of interested in. You know, I think, hey, you know what?
But they're multiplayer scenarios.
If they are multiplayer scenarios, again, I'm going to have to go back to the go fuck yourself Games Workshop comment.
And siege scenarios.
But I mean, if there are legitimate scenarios that will fit with the standard game system, I'm going to say it's nothing but a good thing, because I remember when 5th edition 40K first came out and you were just like, hey, you know what? The 3 different way, you know, deployments with the 3 different victory conditions, it was neat. It was interesting. 2 years later, it was so fucking old, you were sick of it. And so if there are legitimate, not retarded, and that's always a big key one because Games Workshop seems to always screw the dog, see the 40K Battle Missions book. If you really want to see them screwing the dog.
Oh, battle missions.
I think the only good part of that I've heard from people is the kill team rules in the very back. Which the only reason we're not playing kill team is I don't think either of us shelled out the money to buy the battle missions book.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah, see. So, one of us will have to do that for us to play that game of kill team that was asked about. One day. But anyway, if there are good scenarios that can be played with your standard games of Warhammer, I say, you know, bravo, because we all know that rulebook scenarios, when you've been playing the same goddamned ones for 2 years, you're going to be sick of them, and even then you're going to be autopiloting them. Oh, Watchtower again. Well, it's a good thing I've been playing this list for 2 years, and I know exactly what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is interesting. They say new magic items, new cataclysm spells. First of all, cataclysm spells was stupid in Storm of Magic.
Why are you
bringing more
game?
Of them?
Because siege missions are fucking stupid. And the only way for a siege mission to be accurate in any sort of enjoyable fashion...
Siege mission?
Siege.
You said siege. It was hilarious.
Oh, I used to date one of those. No. The only way to make siege missions accurate and entertaining is for them to be somewhat realistic. And the only way to make it realistic is for it to last for fucking ever. You're essentially going to be
like
playing
a game of Risk.
You're going to be playing Watchtower, but like 20 Watchtowers on the table. And it's all just 10 guys in at a time, everybody. So Cataclysm spells are in the game so that you can actually finish the fucking mission in time for something to happen, right? Same thing with all the different siege crap that you can buy. And then they just remake rules for various models that they currently already have out there, so that people can go and buy them to play them in these fucking siege games. Like, that's all it is. What really pisses me off about this and why I'm utterly, utterly frustrated with the bullshit that we're actually seeing another one of these so soon after Storm of Magic.
Yeah, because, I mean, fuck, Storm of Magic came out less than 6 months ago.
It was
July when it came out. So, I mean, we're talking...
Well, way less.
Yeah, we're talking, what, four months in between the release of Storm of Magic and the release of another supplement, air quotes, like this.
Listen, you fucking cocksuckers. You guys have not released a new army book for every single army that's out there right now for 8th edition. We've been in 8th edition for over a year now. This is to the point where I don't understand why you're putting your efforts into something that nobody's asking for. I mean, how many people out there are sitting there screaming, going like, we need a magic-heavy version of Warhammer so that we can crank out magic?
But you know what it feels like? It feels like Games Workshop is releasing these supplements to appeal to the very gamers that don't play their fucking games.
Mm.
You know, because what did we hear?
The gamers who bitch on forums.
Well, exactly. The gamers who bitch on forums. But what did we hear when we were fucking working for the company? We'd hear that, you know, we'd see these crusty old fucks that you knew were never going to spend any money and were just going to bitch your ear off for 2 hours. That's right. Twice as long as this podcast bitches your ear off.
Pretty much.
You know, and all they would do is complain about how there weren't realistic siege missions, because back in third edition, sieges were the best, and, you know, this and that, and the, you know, and that really is what it feels like, is it feels like Games Workshop is trying to appeal to a demographic of gamers that quit playing their games 10 fucking years ago. And even though you're releasing this stupid book, they're not going to buy it, they're not going to buy new models, you know, they're not going to do anything with it. So it's just like, you're absolutely right. They're not releasing army books that need fixes.
Well, and that's what people are screaming for, is, you know, like, we need a new Beastman book, we need a new Bretonnia book, we need this new book. I mean, we have so many options out there. I don't think anybody's sitting there going like, oh, thank God, new Cataclysm spells. Oh, man, I couldn't have gotten around playing a fucking Siege game without the rules that are actually kind of already currently in the Warhammer army book for how to play sieges. Like, you don't need this book. Now,
nice ringtone, Link.
No, that was an email coming through. I'll just go ahead and mute my phone.
All right.
There we go. But no, what it comes down to is the fact that this is a book that nobody asked for. When there's so much that needs to be done, why are you wasting your time with this kind of crap? Now, I don't know if they feel like they need to release a book every time they release a wealth of new models that they should have released years ago.
Yeah, because fucking Beastman book was done before 8th edition even landed.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone looked at that and went, where the fuck are the monsters?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, really, we're looking at almost 2 years between release and these actual models getting released. And, you know, it's so much of a too little too late. And you're right. You know, do they feel like they need to release a supplement to justify the release of models?
It seems like every new range of models that they release, except for the odd one here and there, the odd transfer over to, I need to go buy a toothbrush to fucking clean my model's fine cast.
Yeah, that fine cast cleaning kit is the most fucking stupid thing ever. Hey, everybody, look, it's a $30 toothbrush.
Yeah, but I could go actually buy a $30 toothbrush, like a freaking electric steam cleaning bitch, and fucking clean my models up 10 times better. Anyways, back to these model releases. I don't understand why they feel like they have to release a book to go with these models, when you could have just been like, hey, everybody, here's the model releases. They did it with the vampire counts when they wanted to release the freaking
Terrorgeist.
And all of those guys.
The Wraith and the Banshee.
Yeah,
and
the new plastic heroes instead. Like, you know you can do this. You could have just put them in the White Dwarf and nobody would have complained.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you feel like you have to release this book to go with it as if there's some integral part of the book. It was like Storm of Magic when they released all those fine cast monsters, trying to act like, oh, they're an accompaniment to this new, you know, Storm of Magic book.
Even though everyone was just like, that is the transformation of Kaidan monsters. That is all I am happy about.
That's all anyone cared about.
But no, I mean, yeah, like, it's just, for me, I think, you know, not only that, but the fact that Blood in the Badlands is so, like, it's such a fucking mess. Like I said, they couldn't come up with 100 pages of content, so they're filling it with White Dwarf bullshit. They are releasing Siege rules, which I will guarantee no one is going to play regularly. Because, as you said, sieges are boring. And, I mean, we were even talking about it, where it's just like, if I am the defender in a siege and I do not have war machines or missile weapons, like, if I'm Warriors of Chaos defending a siege, what the fuck do I do?
Wait.
Yeah, I just stand around. Every single turn is waiting, unless I've got a wizard, in which case, hey, I can cast the outspell here.
Do I want to charge? No.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not allowed to. You can't charge out of a
watchtower.
It's watch
a watchtower
tower
game with 20 watchtowers. That's all it's going to come down to.
You know, so I mean, it's just like, you know, they're going to be bullshit rules that don't really fit with every single army. But then even then, we've got what? We've got Siege, we've got new scenarios that work for everything, we've got new magic items, we've got new Cataclysm spells, we've got White Dwarf bullshit, and we have multiplayer scenarios. So it's just like, what? Like, they don't even know what the fuck this book is supposed to be about, you know? And then to tie it off, at the very end, if you're on their website and you're reading the description to this where they're trying to sell it to you as this most amazing thing, and this is why you should buy it and buy one for all of your friends and just keep buying, is they're just like, oh, this is a great campaign system that works with Mighty Empire. So I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Is this an expansion set of rules? Is this a campaign book? Is this a White Dwarf in hardcover? Is this, like, I do not know what the fuck this release is, because read what they're writing, and they're basically saying everything. It's like, they don't know what it is. They came up with, you know, this White Dwarf bullshit, and they decided, hey, we can charge $40 for it.
Yeah. No, and, you know, before we actually get into the new model releases, I want to kind of echo what you had said there. It's so confused in what it wants to be that you can't really see anybody wanting to grab this except for these odd little things. And at 100 pages, essentially, they're going to be selling it for $40. You're just not going to see that many people going to snap this thing up off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, again, why wouldn't you want to really sell something to somebody the right way? Now, you and I had had this conversation about Storm of Magic where I was just like, well, I don't even know anybody who's even played a game. You know, I haven't even played a game yet.
Yeah,
I was kind of excited to play a game. It just never happened. Like, nobody wanted to play it. But you've got people out there in Calgary who are going crazy for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was this very weekend, today, earlier in the day, down in Cowtown, there was a literal Storm of Magic tournament, and there's going to be a new one in the new year, first weekend of February down in Cowtown. That's, again, a Storm of Magic tournament, but, I mean, this one's modified. So basically, for that one, it's going to be, they're going to play rulebook scenarios. You have a 2,000-point army that is augmented by 500 points of bound monsters. You can't take the magic items, you can't take a pact or anything, but I'm just like, I personally hate it because it fucks up all my percentages. So, right. I mean, it's just like, you know, for me, I'm just like, why would I want to take a 2,000-point army with crap that I don't own that doesn't fit into my army that I have to go out and buy and paint for this one event?
Yeah.
And that's why, for me, I'm just like, I saw it, and I was just like, you know, because a friend was just like, oh, did you see the tournament in February? And I was just, he's like, it's right across the street from my house. I'm like, oh my God, that's fantastic. I went and I looked and I read it, and I'm just like, I have no desire to play this because I would literally have to go buy 500 points worth of bullshit monsters to play once because they don't fit in with my army. You know, and so I
mean, we said it before, Storm of Magic is great for the guys who have four or five armies and they can totally just grab bits and pieces out of their lists.
Well, yeah,
you know?
or if you have two armies, one of which is undead or demons, and right. It allows you to create that pact where you're just like, I'm a just throw all these together and we're gonna go to town. but it's just, yeah, like for your average player, Storm of Magic is kind of pointless. And I mean, again, I know down in Calgary there's one gaming group that absolutely loves it. They play it all the time. All the power to you. But it is not for everybody. It is not for me. Like I said, I truly dislike playing it, especially because, you know, it all just comes down to who can take the most wizards. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, Storm of Magic is one of those things where I don't ever kind of want to ever play. And yeah.
We said before about just, they balance it by overbalancing it. Like, it's like the War Machine rule.
Yes.
You know, it's like World of Warcraft. Instead of balancing it, we're just going to make things so crazy overpowered in every aspect that essentially balances the game. Every new thing that comes out will be crazy overpowered and better than everything else, and that balances the game.
Well, exactly.
And that's all we're going to do. And that's what the magic felt like, and that's what the monsters felt like.
Especially when you're looking at the Cataclysm spells in the Storm Magic. Because, I mean, the monsters were like a funny haha, where it's just like, why would you take a Lamasu? Oh, because you were an old Chaos Dwarf player in 5th edition.
It's hilarious.
And you have one.
You're like, Mark, there's one in your basement. Yeah,
Mark has more than one in his basement, let's be honest.
All right, but okay, let's get back to the Badlands. The Badlands. The models released for the Badlands, or along with the Badlands, include the Jabberscythe, a new Doombull and Finecast. It also includes the Saigor and the
Gorgon, which is a mixed plastic kit.
Yep, mixed plastic kit, which is pretty rad, and which, again, could double as a giant in any other army if you're all for it. You know, you want to make up a Chaos Giant, you can do the same thing here, which is pretty rad. There's definitely nothing wrong with that, except for the fact that they decided to give you 360 views on the website so that you can see just how Ken-like Barbie bald his cock is. I said on the Facebook page that the only reason why I wouldn't shear off all the skulls on that model is because I would then have to model a giant cow dick on the bottom of between his legs. But when you do the 360 and you look from behind, he is bald like a Ken doll. There is nothing there. So I guess I wouldn't have to worry too much about actually having to model something on there.
That is true. Although I do have to applaud your dedication to the fact that you were actually thinking of making an anatomically correct model.
That's how I roll.
No, but I mean, you know, like I said, as we're saying with higher learning, for me, I think the Beastman models, they're okay. I honestly love the Jabberscythe. I'd never take it as a monster because, as we said, the Saigor is your best bet. To me, I feel like where the fuck was this Gorgon Sigor kit? Because again, you know, if we're going to continue on this pattern of nerd raging all over the place, when you look at it, it is literally the giant kit with a tail, with different arms and heads, and a whole bunch of fucking skulls everywhere. Because if Games Workshop stands for one thing, it is overuse of the skull motif.
This was the Guinness Book of World Records for skulls model.
Good lord.
I started counting them, and I'm just like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I hit like 30, and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it's got the most skulls out of any other model, outside of, you know, somebody who's modeled on like a skull base or something like that. Yep. We're talking about Flair. Skulls in the form of Flair.
What do you mean? I have 15 pieces. I thought 15 was the minimum.
Do you want people to think that you're a Gorgon who only does the bare minimum?
Good lord. But I mean, like I said, I look at it, and like I said, I just don't understand why the fucking wait. Why was this 2 years coming when it is literally, they took the giant as a base kit. It's in the same striding pose. It's got the same big-ass fucking gut. Like, it's clear that this was one of those models that they created using their fucking computer modeling system. They started with the giant, and they just started making additions. You know, and that's why I'm just like, why did this take so goddamn long? Why is this out now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when, you know, this would have been a good shot in the arm for prospective Beastman players if you'd released this at launch. For me, I think the only really awesome one is the Jabberslife. I can't get enough of how cool I think that model looks.
It's very well modeled.
I think it is excellent.
It's the only one of the new models where they didn't feel the need to model on a pair of butt cheeks.
Hey, I mean, you can't lie. That is the fucking truth right there.
You're standing behind your models the entire game, okay? I don't need to look at a freaking cow's butt cheeks the entire game. That's just the way I feel about it, okay?
Well, Games Workshop disagrees with you. They think that ass crack is the most action you've gotten because you play their games.
Ooh,
so.
True enough, hey?
Hey!
You just invented a new form of slash fiction. okay, so... I guess that's an achievement you've unlocked. I guess to kind of wrap us up a little bit here, I feel like, again, I said this at the beginning, I want to come back and touch on it. This is really just another book that they've built to sell more terrain. We're going to see new terrain coming out soon.
Dude, they've already
got all the terrain out there for the towers and shit like that and the walls. And it's just, you know, it's frustrating because I start to wonder to myself, like, how much work really goes into these books? Like, is this... Oh, we started this 3 months ago. Like, yeah, as soon as Storm of Magic was done, we saw how great that sold. We decided to make a new one. Bam, it was done in 3 months. We'll release it with these kits and we'll get people to buy more scenery. And I guarantee you, when you go back through those scenarios and you look to see what all the shit that you fucking quote-unquote need, it's going to be like 4 to 8 walls and 4 to 6 towers. And you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Like... It's just like Storm of Magic, where they're just like, and you, every game needs 4 to 6 fulcrums. And you're just like, really? I have to go fucking buy fulcrums? Especially when they write into the rules that you have to be able to stand a model up on top of it for it to technically be a fulcrum. And I'm just like, well, there goes all my towers with points on top of them.
Yeah. Which is, but that's the stupidest thing, is when you look at all of the very cheap, very well done, readily available, pre-painted fantasy scenery... It all has points on it. Like, it's just such a big fuck you to the competition to say, no, you have to buy our models. Because even though these other companies are making fantastic stuff, and in a lot of cases, it's as good or better than our own.
And cheaper.
And cheap. Much
cheaper. Guaranteed almost half the price.
Go fuck yourselves. Go buy ours instead. But no, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, for me, I just don't know. Like, it's just this Blood in the Badlands. Because, you know, you're talking about how it's trying to sell scenery. But for me, I think they're trying to sell Mighty Empires, because I remember working for the company when Mighty Empires came out, and they were so in love with it. They honestly thought that Mighty Empires was the fucking best thing in the world. Look, everybody, it's a plastic hex map that you have to paint yourself. And they thought that it was the fucking tits. So I will guarantee that they have a warehouse full of Mighty Empires. And this Blood in the Badlands is this cheap fucking attempt to try to empty the warehouse. So every single store is going to get more Mighty Empires along with their Blood in the Badlands 100-page bullshit book along with their Beastmen models that no one's going to buy because, you know, no offense, no one's really playing Beastmen as an army. I mean,
this isn't going to make anyone want to play
Beastmen
anymore.
No, and that's exactly the thing. Odd
people,
is just like,
the odd people who play them right now are going to buy them up to play them, for the new book.
When I was at Throne of Skulls in Vegas, I did not see a Beastmen player there. I read the tabs. There was one out of 100. When I went to Out of the Basement, there's no Beastman player there. When I went to Onslaught, I think the ward said that there was a Beastman player, but I didn't see his army. So, I mean, it's just like, this is not a fucking army that sells well. This is not a very well-represented army. So, you know, when you go into your local G-Dub on release weekend, you are going to see piles of Mighty Empires to go with their piles of fucking Blood in the Badlands. And unlike the Necrons that have been selling like gangbusters in all of the GWs, you're going to see full shelves full of Beastmen monsters and Doombulls. Because, like I said, it's 2 years too fucking late. Like, if these had been release monsters, I really think that people would have been picking up a Jabberslythe with their fucking army book, and they would have been going to town with that.
I like how you were like, no, I disagree with you. What they're trying to sell, and I was just sitting there like, no, you're right. My whole point is all they're doing is trying to sell stuff they've already made.
Yeah.
That's all this really comes down to. But, alright, man.
Fuck them.
So, did you have stupidity check for this week?
I was gonna use the fine cast cleaning set simply because it skated under the radar. Like, I literally did not notice this. Now, I've talked about my job at length. I have a lot of spare time. So I spend a lot of time online. I read the Games Workshop blog. I go and I check out the headlines. I scroll down and look at the pretty painted models. If something's interesting, I might read a paragraph or two. That's about it. But I actually missed this. I literally missed the release of the fine cast cleaning set. So I really want to bring attention to it because this is probably the single most ridiculous. Go to Citadel Tools.
Oh, Citadel
Tools down two.
Okay.
This is probably the stupidest thing Games Workshop has ever done. Like, you know, and boy, do we have some selections right there. is it the cleanup kit up two?
Yeah, there it is.
Citadel cleanup kit. So for $16, you can get
a butter knife.
A butter knife.
And a toothbrush.
And a toothbrush. But it is Games Workshop's, you know, it's Games Workshop branded. So, I mean, you can't coach. You can't explain that. Yeah. I mean, for me, like I said, I missed it. And the fact that I look at their blog every single day and I still missed the fact that they released a goddamn fucking toothbrush. Like, to me, I don't know whether that's a stupidity check on them for releasing it or a stupidity check on me for missing it for this long.
I think we've all just become a bit stupider.
Oh my god.
That's all it comes down to.
This was like when Games Workshop was selling us Air.
Yes.
You know, hey, look everybody, only Games Workshop brand Air works on your Games Workshop brand shitty airbrush.
Oh my god, I've had two of them, neither of them work. So I gave up on it.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, I just don't get where they come off. I mean, like I said, we've got a fucking toothbrush and a butter knife for $16 because apparently when you're cleaning your models, good old soap and water and a washcloth is just not fucking good enough. You know,
just blowing on it. Like, I've never run into an issue where, I think maybe once in my entire modeling career, have I ever run into an issue where a metal, plastic, or resin model had so much trash on it that after I primed it, the primer didn't adhere the way that it was supposed to. I think only ever once have I ever actually really seen that happen.
See, for me, it's Forge World. Forge World models, I use my fucking, you know, I've got an old $1 IKEA fucking dish scrubbing brush, and that plus warm water and soap, and I just go to town scrubbing Forge World models. Because one time,
every Forge World model I've ever got, I've never had a problem with it.
See, but I don't think you have really big ones like the Greater Demons.
No, nothing really big. I think the biggest one I got was a Dreadnought.
Fair enough.
Forge World Dreadnought.
Because, I mean, before I really started getting the bigger kits like the Greater Demons, because it was my Lord of Change as I primed him.
Yeah,
without doing it, and he just started beating all over the place, so I had to give him a simple green bath and then actually scrub all of his pieces good. But I mean, that's the thing, is you're absolutely right. This is not a problem that you typically have. Now, I have never built a fine cast model, so I mean, I can't talk to whether or not that is an issue with fine crap. But I mean, even then, you know,
I did up a Nightbringer recently, and it was
Yeah, it was fine, right?
Nah, it had bubbles. I was kind of on later inspection that I went through and took a look at a couple, and thankfully none of them were on the sides, but a lot of them are kind of the end of the robes and a couple of other places. It wasn't terrible. I think the biggest problem that I have with Finecast, the models that I've done so far, all of those models have had problems lining up seams.
Well, the fact that for me, what I love about Finecast most, other than their bullshit circle jerk, you know, finest models, you know, in the world, is the fact that they are so bad they literally had to invent a product to help to sell to people who buy these shitty models, and that is liquid green stuff.
Liquid green stuff.
You know, because it's just like, oh my god, these models are fucking terrible. Are we able to do something about it? No. Well, why don't we come up with something else that will make people buy in order to make up for the fact that we're selling them shit right now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, give this man a corner office.
You, sir, are a genius.
Like, fucking Christ. So, I mean, really, man, this stupidity check is really kind of all over the place.
But it's Games Workshop again, and I think that that's what it really comes down to, is it's Games Workshop again. They've done another stupid thing that you sit there and shake your head at, going like, what are these people doing? And it's this time that you can come out and bring out the nerd rage for it when people are screaming for new books. The Bretonians are screaming for a new book. The Beastmen are screaming for a new book.
Dude, my Wood Elves are basically shelved.
Right, vampires on both ends. The people who are twinking out like crazy and playing cheeseball lists opponents screaming for a new list, and guys like me who aren't doing that are screaming for a new list because I want to be able to play something proper.
For me, I think the proof is in the pudding with the Vampire Counts and why they need a new army. One, Tomb King's point costs really kind of highlight how out to lunch the vampires are. But the biggest one is the fact that when you go to a tournament, how many varied lists do you see? Because, I mean, for Demons of Chaos, you see shitloads of different lists because the book has a lot of options. Same with Dark Elves, same with High Elves, same with Warriors of Chaos. I mean, granted, Warriors, it's usually stick to your core, you can't go wrong. So right. You see a lot of armies doing that. For Vampire Counts, the only thing that I have ever seen out of every competitive, and I'm going to put this because, I mean, anyone can bring a list to a tournament.
Mine's not competitive.
You know, every competitive Vampire Counts army I have played against, win or loss, has been a Death Star minimum 40 Grave Guard with Drakenhof banner and plus one to hit banner.
And then the Mega Vamp.
And then the Mega Vamp in there. You know, who resummons. And the rest of the army is ghouls.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, I mean, it's just like, I've played that
army.
The
odd black coach, the odd
whatever your support element tickles your fancy, whether it's a Vargulf, a black coach, or some wraiths, or even a
blood
small
knights.
Unit of blood knights. Whatever floats your boat. But at the end of the day, the entire army hinges upon the fucking Death Star of ghoul, you know, of Graveguard. And that, to me, says something is wrong with this book.
Yep.
If everybody that gets to top tables with a Vampire Counts army is running the same build, something is wrong with the book.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I knew vampires needed a new book when the 8th edition Magic came out, because Vampire Counts Magic was, you know, or rather, Vampire Counts were an army that was built as with Magic as its army mechanic.
Yeah.
You needed, you know, you had a strong Magic phase because your entire army was bound by Magic. So with the change to 8th edition, with fucking Winds of Magic being able to screw your summon spam vampire list and give them 2 power dice, it was always very clear to me that they did need an update, whether it was an errata, whether it was a new book, no matter what it was, that would change that army mechanic because it's too random.
Well, and that's the other thing with that, as quote-unquote competitive Vampire Counts list, is you're taking at least 2 vampire thralls, and each of them have the black arts, whatever, the one that gives you 2 power dice every phase for free, right? Like, that's the one where it's just like, no matter what I get, I'm guaranteed 6, and then that's the only way to actually play that list. The problem is you end up getting a lot of 12s on a regular basis, and people, of course, they scream cheater.
Well,
and you can fly.
No, but I mean,
the other thing is
again, this was an army that in its rules said you can cast fucking what's your Raise Dead or Invocation of the Heck.
Yeah.
You can cast this as many times as you goddamned want. So, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things where fucking vampires needed to do that. But now with the advent of losing concentration, I mean, if I try to one dice it so I can do it a lot and I roll a 1 on my very first spell, I'm fucked. My 500-point fucking vampire lord gets shut down, gets
hoping on
off.
Your thralls who don't have all the special abilities to make it happen.
You know, exactly. So, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. There are books that need to be redone. Vampires are one of them. I think Wood Elves are showing their age. Bretonians, again, I think, you know, this is another one of those armies where when you look at competitive lists, they're down to one or two builds. So, I mean, I'd like to see them get updated to get new options as well as new plastic kits. Because, again, I have a soft spot for Bretonnia.
And I want to see a new book for Siege rules and multiplayer scenario. Fuck that bullshit.
Well,
and that's the whole point, right? And that's what brings us all the way around full circle is just, what the fuck are these people thinking? You know, it's a ridiculous idea that anybody actually wants this when the majority of your gamers that are buying and painting stuff are going to play in tournaments, so they're playing at home in their basement. Mm-hmm. They're not the two guys screaming on the forums about how third edition Siege rules were the greatest in the world.
Well, you know, I think what it comes down to, again, is something that I said, you know, a couple episodes back, which is Games Workshop needs to get their head out of their ass. They think that they are a model making company first, right? You know, I said it before, and I think it fits with this Blood in the Badlands bullshit. You know, they feel that they only exist to sell models and rules are secondary, but they don't realize that the rules are what's selling the models. Like, you know, they're putting the cart in front of the horse and wondering why it's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Because they're too fucking stupid to realize that people play their game. You know, it's just like, don't get me wrong, there are people who collect to paint. And as an ex-staffer, you saw that. You saw the people that came in. They did not give a shit about the game. They didn't give a shit about armies. They'd walk through. They'd find a model they thought was interesting. They'd build it. They'd paint it.
Yeah, Jared Lee.
Yeah. That made up 1% of your customer base.
Yeah.
The other 99% were building armies. They were playing the game. They were trying to optimize their lists. You know, they were out at Vets Night. You know, these were the people that were buying models because it fit the rules that they wanted to play with. And like I said, Games Workshop, for some for some fucking stupid reason, doesn't catch on to that. So it's just like, until they catch on to that fact, we're going to keep getting dumb shit like Dreadfleet, like Blood in the Badlands, all of this dumb, stupid shit that they're doing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, did you already put that out of your memory?
No, I hadn't. I mean, I still think it's fucking stupid, but I think it's just one more thing. Like I said, you know, we have these short periods of time between Storm of Magic, Dreadfleet, and Blood in the Badlands, and it's all this kind of work and effort going into shit that is just, you know, if you go and you fix Beastmen, and Beastmen comes out, just like Necrons, it's going to sell like gangbusters. You know, if you go out there and you redo Necrons like they did, guess what? Hey, look, everybody, they sold. We saw it with Dark Eldar, we saw it with the Grey Knights, we saw it with everything, because that's what people want.
Yep.
Right? And again, the proof is in the punch, right? Like, it's right there. It's in front of their faces. That's where their biggest sales come from, is when a new codex and a new army gets released. Now, I understand that takes more work than anything else. Well, then stop. Get your fucking hand off your dick and get back to work and stop screwing around.
No, but the worst part is Games Workshop is so far ahead in models that they produce. I mean, fuck, how long did it take for the plastic Trigon to come out? That was, what, January of 2009?
Not about your goddamn Tyranids.
Shut up. Let me get to this. It's always about my Tyranids.
It's just like,
hey-o. But it's just like, the plastic Trigon came out in January of 2010, I believe. Yeah, because we're 2011. Good lord. January of 2010. That model was built and painted in the Apocalypse rulebook that was released back in 2006.
Yeah.
So they sat on a finished model for 3.5 years because they were waiting for rules to release it on. So, I mean, that's the thing. That is why, and this is just a roundabout way of saying, Games Workshop, go fuck yourself. You don't need these expansions. You have the models. You're just sitting on them. I mean, fuck, you have plastic Plague Bears. Why else aren't they in fine cast? You know, you release Skull Taker, you're releasing Greater Demons, you're releasing special characters, you know, Flamers. You're releasing all of this shit in fine cast, yet Plague Bears aren't. Why? Because Plague Bears have been rumored to be in plastic since the Demons of Chaos Army book was released. So it's just like, you have these models. They're in the pipes. If you're looking for something to pad your bottom line and just have a release for the sake of having a release because you don't have anything for that month, release the models you're just sitting on, like the Eldar jet bikes. I mean, fuck, we saw pictures of the Eldar jet bikes before we saw the Dark Eldar Dark Eldar release.
Long ago.
The weirdest thing is I remember going back after building Dark Eldar jet bikes and looking at it, and you can see it's exactly the same chassis. They're using the same exhaust intakes, the same frame. It's a different canopy, a different rider, and you're just like, holy fucking fuck, why have we not seen this yet? Like, we saw that, prototype, even though we know that's the finished model. back in 07, mm-hmm. and I mean, we're still waiting on it. So, I mean, it's just like Games Workshop.
Apparently, there's
the
a wacky story that goes with that where it was just like, oh no, it wasn't this, it was something else, or they couldn't get it done.
They were, you know, that was the official word on why they showed this prototype at a games day, and then we still haven't seen it. But like I said, if you have built a Dark Eldar jet bike and you go hunt that picture down, you can see it's the exact same frame.
Well, it's pretty much the same.
You know, it's the same gut. So I mean, Games Workshop is sitting on years of model releases that they're not releasing because they're waiting for the right time. And instead, they're giving us this bullshit, this Storm of Magic, Blood in the Badlands kind of bullshit. Like, what were you saying? It's, you know, the next one's going to be like Storm of Blood on the Magical Badlands. And you're just like, go, oh, you know, like.
Well, they'll have special scenarios for fighting in lava and volcanoes.
Yeah. Or some dumb shit. Yeah, hey, I actually forgot.
I like how they're just like special scenarios for fighting underground.
Yeah, I was going to say, we never even talked about underground. Like, how did we miss talking about fights underground? Because,
hey,
you know what?
Hey,
every
hey.
Dwarf and Skaven player has been dying to have underground fights.
Hey, you know how when you fight above ground? Okay, so when you fight underground, it's darker.
And you can't use artillery because that just hits the roof. I mean,
oh, man. Right. But you see, there's no sun, right?
Oh.
So it's darker. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, I forgot about that in my ticking off of the bullshit all over the place randomness that is this Blood in the Badlands bullshit. Like I said,
underground.
It's a hardcover white dwarf. Because, like, you look at it, and it's just, like, it's all over the place. It has no idea what it wants to be. I mean, we even have battle reports, for fuck's sakes. It's a hardcover white dwarf. Like, I think they're maybe testing the waters to see if they can get away with charging $40 a month for white dwarf.
No.
Just you wait. Just you wait. I mean, fuck, this is
let
a
him,
second...
Let him, I don't
this
care.
This is a
it's
second supplement in 4 months. And, like, you know, and 40K hasn't gotten a supplement. I mean, you know, since that time, we've gotten two army releases, one for 40K, one for fantasy, and we've gotten two supplements. Come on. Enough
yeah.
is enough.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not gonna be buying it, so hey, why not? Go for it. $40 a month. Hardcover, why the fuck not? But anyways, yeah, if anybody out there is looking for a Citadel cleaning kit, I have a couple of used, toothbrushes and scored up butter knives that you are free to come and get from me. I'll charge you half the price of the Citadel cleaning kit, but, hell,
and that is already highway robbery.
That is
right
already
there.
Highway robbery. Go to your local dollar store and get down to business. That's all I gotta say.
All I said, I have a fucking scrubby dish cleaning brush for $1 from IKEA.
Why even make a big deal out of it? All right, so, yeah, anything else on Blood in the Badlands? I mean, okay, I'm going to say this right now. No, we are not going to be reviewing it. Consider this as much of a review as you're going to get. I think it's after fucking Storm of Magic and Dreadfleet.
Oh, yeah, after Dreadfleet,
I'm calling it quits on fantasy expansion bullshit. Sorry, we're not doing it, guys. I might go into my local GW and read through it one of these things and come back and do a little segment on it, but there's no fucking way I'm buying all that garbage to give it a shot.
The only way I can see myself buying it is if the Greater Tournament Circuit deems that adopts the scenarios and magic items, in which case I'll grab it so I can read up and possibly start building them into my list.
I got nothing wrong with buying something as it's a requirement, you know, bringing your codex and bringing
the
white dwarf that affects it and bringing your rule book.
Exactly.
And printing out your FAQ. Like, I'm all for that.
Like, here's the thing. I will play a fucking campaign weekend of Storm of Magic before I would play a single Siege game. Like, or an underground game. And you know what? I would play a Siege game before I would play an underground
game.
What
about an underground Siege game, huh?
Dude,
right?
that is like... stupidception there. I mean, really, the stupid is within the stupid. Like, oh my good lord.
No, three levels of stupid. That's impossible.
Because you can't explain that. Because they made you pay.
Quick, spin your top. Spin your top. Okay, thank God we're still in reality. Quick, roll your weighted dice. All right, I'm not dreaming. All right, fuck it. We're done. That's been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.